The sports spotlight is here for this Tuesday, August 24th. Sports Spotlight with Jackson, Kevin, Christian, and special guest Owen Pooley will be joining us talking baseball. But first, our first thing to talk about is NFL Week 2 of the preseason happened. And this is the week where most starters happen. So, and that's when they that's when they play. So, we're going to start it off with last Thursday night. And the Patriots got a blowout victory over the Eagles. And really, this game was interesting, to say the least, because Cam Newton actually played really well in his only drive. He was going 8 for 9, 103, and a touchdown. Mac Jones also had a pretty good night as well with 146, 13 for 19. And that's really one of the QB controversies that is heating up currently. And there's like about five or six that are really going on. And that's just what's going to happen. So what do you think about this QB controversy going on in New England?
Yeah, I mean, Mac Jones definitely having a strong performance in the preseason as just a rookie. But Cam Newton also doing pretty well. Bill Belichick, he's probably the best coach of all time. He'll have it figured out by week one, and he'll probably be in pretty good shape with either quarterback he chooses. With that being said, though, he could go for Mac Jones, try and develop the young talent, or choose Cam Newton, have the more experienced guy try and lead the team, and if he doesn't work out, he can, of course, always throw Mac Jones back in. And with Mac Jones maybe starting on the sideline, it could be a chance for him to learn from Cam Newton and just kind of experience the NFL before getting a full dive right into it.
Well, I do think we all do know that Cam Newton will start off the season starting. I mean, obviously he's not going to name it, but Cam Newton will be the starter starting the season. Will Mac Jones play this year? I don't know. It really depends if Cam Newton is good enough to be a starting quarterback in the league. And if he's not, he'll be done. And I think if he struggles this season, his career is slightly over as a starter. I don't see Cam Newton taking a backup role because I think his ego is too high. And I think we're going to see Cam Newton's if he can be a guy. And if he's not that guy anymore, I think this might be his last season in the league because he was barely signed by New England. Going to Philly now, Jalen Hurst did not play in this ballgame. So I think that's why the reason they lost 35-0. Joe Flacco got the start. Remember him? He won the Super Bowl in Baltimore a couple years ago, 2012. But he went 83 yards, one interception, 10 for 17. So I guess. But New England dominant victory on Thursday Night Football. Going now to the Saturday and Sunday games to another team that did not play their starting quarterback. But one team did, the Washington football team beating the Cincinnati Bengals. And 17-13, Fitzpatrick threw 96 yards. Nothing big, no touchdowns thrown by any quarterbacks. But one big thing about the football team is they are thinking about naming a team, maybe. The football team's still in question. So what do you think would be a good team name for the football team?
Yeah, I've heard they've narrowed it down to a few.
I think it was six names.
Yeah, and they're trying to just narrow it down to what they want. I don't really know, though. It's kind of tough to rename a team after it's been one name for so long. But I remember hearing some of the ideas that they were talking about.
Like the Generals, something like
that.
Yeah,
or like the Red, I don't know, something to do with like a military plane or something like that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Red Hawk, yeah, something like that. Uh-huh. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. The football team kind of sticks, though. It's weird.
But everyone knows it now. So.
Yeah, and like whenever it's like the football team, it's not a name, just the team. So
they are the team.
But interesting, this game didn't have any significance to it. Football team won 17-13. No starters really played. Fitzpatrick played decent.
And it's so awkward hearing the football team.
The football team. It's like the soccer team, the baseball team. But it's interesting to say the least, but it stuck. Now going to another preseason game, and a game that Mr. Chiefs versus Cardinals starters did play. Mr. Mahomes, 78 yards and an INT for Patrick Mahomes. And just that's just weird to see him throwing no touchdowns and interception. Kyler Murray only played one drive, one for 4, 2 yards. Mahomes played a first half, 78, an interception. So nothing big from that, but Patrick Mahomes throwing an interception? Huh?
Yeah, I mean, that's really what you would not expect from him in the preseason. But it is just the preseason, so they could have been trying out some new schemes or just trying out a new fit for the offense. But you still don't want to see him throwing an interception. But looking at the game overall, it's not like either starting quarterback did very great, as Murray 1-for-4 with only 2 yards and Mahomes 78 yards with that one pick. So the starting quarterbacks really did not put on a great performance in that game.
Mm-hmm. Going to another one that happened Saturday was a kind of a game. What do you call it whenever you play your former team? Or
revenge tour?
Revenge,
I don't know.
Revenge game. And that was the case here for Money Mitch. Mitchell Trubisky taking on the Chicago Bears. And he's now on the Bills. The Bills won 41-15. Josh Allen did not play in this ball game, and Money Mitch showed out, going 20-for-28, 221, and a touchdown for the Bills. And for the Bears, I mean, they didn't really have any significance at all. Justin Fields, who's supposed to be the next guy, 9-for-19, 80 yards. Andy Dalton did decent, even though if you watch the game, he's not that good. He went 11-for-17, 146, a touchdown, an INT. But the crazy thing is, I think Trubisky's a decent quarterback. I don't think he's as bad as people have made it out to be.
Yeah, this game really shows his like skill set to have that many yards. It's pretty solid, you know?
And I think that the system, Matt Nagy's not a good coach. I don't think it's so at all. He stole Coach of the Year from our coach.
Frank Reich?
Yeah, in 2018. They were battling, and the Bears got it because they made the playoffs. And I think Reich should have won it because that Colts team with Mr. Luck, his final season, makes me sad. But I think Reich would have won it, and he stole it. And now look at the Bears. They're a team that's lackluster, and their offense never is good. They're only there because their defense and their former quarterback's going crazy on them. So it's just kind of crazy. I think Trubisky will be a starter somewhere by the end of the season. I do think he'll probably end up getting traded to a team that's QB needy. Because he's a talented guy, even though he's got repped as the worst quarterback in that draft class, whatever. He is the MVP for a reason. And MVP means there was a playoff game last year that happened on Nickelodeon. And you could vote for the MVP, even though the Bears did not win. You know who the fans voted for. Money Mitch, the MVP. Not MVP, MVP, but... Hey, it's even on his Wikipedia. If you look on it, it says MVP 2020. It's kind of funny.
I think he had a couple slime touchdowns that game or whatever they were calling it on that broadcast.
He threw like one touchdown, two INTs. But it was kind of funny. But good revenge game there for Mr. Trubisky and the Bills, going to another game that shows a rookie quarterback going at it. Jets-Packers. Jets win 23-14. Zach Wilson actually had a really good showing. 9-for-11. 128 and 2 touchdowns, and just a good game there for Zach Wilson. And the Packers did not have any quarterbacks of any significance play. Same with Jordan Love or Aaron Rodgers, both did not play. But Zach Wilson putting on a show, 128, 2 touchdowns, 9-for-11.
Yeah, after that first week 1, Zach Wilson, he didn't have a terrible outing, but he didn't have his best. So seeing him come out in week 2 and put on the performance he did, very positive thing to see, and very hopeful for Jets fans to know that their future quarterback could be Zach Wilson. And if he can start getting into a rhythm and playing like he is, the NFL season could see a lot of him getting a lot of playing time.
Well, the big thing is there that Wilson in his first preseason game kind of just threw some little dank down passes, and then they really opened up the offensive playbook for this week 2 matchup. And Wilson really excelled, going 9-for-11, like I said, 2 touchdowns. So we're going to have to see how he plays this season. As funny thing is, on that Jets roster, they do not have a single quarterback who's taken an NFL snap. So it's going to be interesting, to say the least. But I'm excited for the Jets. I think they were so atrocious last year.
They are bad.
They were winning a game. There was a Hail Mary opportunity. You know what they did? They sent the house, okay? And they lost that game. But... it was funny, but I really hope they get some good fortune, because I want to see the Jets win a couple games, not against the Colts or anything, not make the playoffs, but maybe 3. It's more than last year. They won 2. I don't know. I think Wilson's a good guy. So it's gonna be cool to see Mr. Zach Wilson, a starter. But that's one thing about rookie quarterbacks, they do struggle their first year sometimes, as they are just rushed into the starting form. So we'll have to see, but I think it's going to be a little bit interesting. But going to another game, this has a quarterback starting, was a rookie last season, and he's going to be a starter this season full time. It's the Dolphins taking on the Falcons. The Dolphins 137-17. The Dolphins, Tua Tagovailoa, 16 for 23, 183, a touchdown for the Dolphins. Jacoby Brissett, former Colts quarterback, 99 and a touchdown as well. 8 for 8, good job by Mr. Biscuit, as I used to call him, but Brissett. And then the Falcons, no significance there, no quarterback play, anything. 46-43 for their both quarterbacks. This Falcons team without Matt Ryan's rough.
Yeah, Tua Tagovailoa, just in his previous career, he's had 11 touchdowns with 5 interceptions. So really not putting up the greatest numbers. But coming out this season, putting up 183 yards with 1 Brad's touchdown. Buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Can show maybe he's shown some improvement, maybe gotten more comfortable in the offense. He is a rookie no more, so he's coming into, like Jackson said, his second year, so he'll be more comfortable in the QB position.
But another thing you could say is a sophomore slump, but he didn't really play too much as a rookie, so we're going to see. I do like Tua, but he hasn't looked like the same player ever since he's had those injuries in college, but we're going to see how he plays because this is his team now, so it's going to be interesting to say the least, but I'm excited for Mr. Tua Tagovailoa, and we're going to have to see. But going to another preseason game that happened Saturday, the Ravens taking on the Panthers. The Ravens have not lost a preseason game since 2016. It's kind of weird to say, but it's true. And they won another one, 20-3 against the Carolina Panthers. And Lamar Jackson or Trace McSorley did not play in this one. So they had Trent Hundley, 187, at interception. But they just ran the ball really good down Panthers' throat. And they won. The Panthers didn't play Sam Darnold too much. 1 for 2, 16 yards, 1 drive. So another win there by the Ravens. Going to another preseason game that does have some type of significance to it is the Steelers taking on the Lions. The Steelers are now 3-0 in the preseason, winning this one 26-20. And the real thing is Ben Roethlisberger played the first half, an 8 for 10, 137, and 2 touchdowns. So Mr. Big Ben playing pretty good for the Steelers. And Dwayne Haskins went 4 for 7, 56. And Mason Rudolph, 13 for 18, 138. No touchdowns, no interceptions. So a good quarterback play by the Steelers as they get the win over the Lions.
Yeah, we know Ben Roethlisberger has that starting spot locked up in Pittsburgh. But really, there's the battle for the number 2 spot between Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins. But clearly, after week 2 of the preseason, Mason Rudolph really showing that he should be the number 2 guy if needed, which last year he was needed some as Roethlisberger battled some injuries and wasn't in his top form. But if he can play like he's showing in the preseason, the Steelers should be set up with a good QB again for another NFL season.
Well, the thing is, Roethlisberger's never really lost a step. He just starts to lose a step when you're having him throw 60 times.
Yeah, they couldn't run the ball at all last year.
Yeah, if they cannot run the ball, they will crumble. And they'll be hot first couple weeks because passing teams always do good, like the Cowboys last season. They did so good. They weren't winning games. But statistically, they were looking really good. Obviously, Dak got hurt, but that team could not run the ball.
And like the Steelers, they started, 11-0 or something like that last year?
And then with TikTok Boy, that's how they got all the heat. So he was dancing on logos. I saw a TikTok a couple days ago, and he was doing it again. People were like, no, don't do it again.
Juju Smith-Schuster, everyone was coming for him after he started dancing on people's logos, which, that's a lot of disrespect to do.
I guess. I don't really see too much with it, but they lost. The Browns beat up on them. And, hey, shout out to the Browns.
Yes, sir.
Cleveland. Going to another one. And the first, it's still a Saturday game, but the Titans beat up on the Buccaneers 34-3. No one really played of significance in this game, so nothing too big. Trask. How do you say his last name?
Trask.
Yeah, whatever. 131, 2 interceptions, so good for him.
good for him throwing 2 picks.
Titans win 34-3. Going to another one. Texans, Cowboys. Cowboys lose. Texans win 20-14. Texans 2-0 in the preseason. That will not happen in the regular season. Cowboys 0-3. We see that all the time. Cowboys lose big. Prescott did not play. Ben DiNucci did, though. 120 yards, 3 INTs for Mr. DiNucci. Good job there, bye. Hey, good job there, Ben DiNucci. Ben DiNucci just showing how he is the quarterback of the future for the Cowboys. Throwing three INTs, we're kidding. We're kidding. Ben DiNucci is just a meme. It's he's just a joke. And three INTs for Mr. DiNucci. Just what a player. What a guy.
So
what
inspirational.
Man. So inspirational.
Can't wait to be like him one day.
Yeah, that's my idol. So we're going to have to see there. But, hey, the Texans get two straight wins. I don't think they're going to be seeing that much in the regular season. But you never know. But I do promise one thing. Dallas will see this many losses in the regular season. They're 0-3. So that's interesting. But going to now the Sunday games. No, this game happened Saturday too. No, it didn't. Yeah, it did. I don't know. I'm a little slow. But here we go now. And this game was just a field goal match, to say the least. Colts win 12-10. And this is the first time the Colts have been 2-0 in the preseason for 27 years. Mr. Jim Irsay tweeted that out. That's where I got my info at there. But the crazy thing is Sam Ehlinger started this game, throwing for 70 yards and, you know what, two INTs. And then Jacob Easton came in, 16 for 27, 132, no interceptions, no touchdowns. But nothing too big happened this game. So, yeah, the Colts win. We're going to talk about the Colts more after we wrap up this. But Mr. Cousins, 5 for 7, 27 yards. So nothing big happened in that one. Going to another game, and this we have a funny stat here for you. The Raiders did beat the Rams 17-16, but their quarterback, Nathan Peterman, the man who threw five interceptions and a half. Okay, this guy went 16 for 24, 172. A touchdown, two INTs, because he's kind of known for that. But he's played every single snap at quarterback for the team this preseason. No backups. They're just rocking with Carr and Peterman. And it's just funny because Carr's not obviously going to play in the preseason, because that's what teams like to do now, is just throw their players in week one for some reason, because that does a lot. It's proven that they should kind of play. That's why you see the Chiefs playing their guys. Brady played week one a little bit. So, but we'll see. But Peterman has played every single snap in the preseason so far. It's just kind of funny.
Maybe he's just trying to break his previous record interceptions.
Of a preseason record of interceptions? He might get it. He's actually going to get the most snaps ever played in the preseason by a quarterback next week. And this is a 3-week preseason instead of a 4-week preseason. So just shout out to Mr. Peterman.
Is Carr even playing for the Raiders week 3? Or any news on that? No. Yeah.
It's going to be Peterman because he's the GOAT.
He's just their man.
He's the preseason man. And it's funny because no one even knew why he was signed. Because he threw five interceptions, got released, of course, and then they signed him. People were like, why are they signing this guy? But hey, look at him. One touchdown, two INTs. It doesn't matter. Ben Perkins, two touchdowns, one INT for the Rams. They lost, though. Peterman, 2-0 in the preseason. Maybe he should be the guy. I don't know. We'll never know. Going to another game that happened Saturday. The Broncos get a big win over the Seahawks, 30-3. And this is another QB controversy that's happening in the league. Drew Block. Teddy Bridgewater going at it. Drew Lock went 9 for 14, 80 yards. Got the start. No touchdowns, no INTs. Teddy B, 9 for 11, 105, a touchdown. So who do you think will be the starter going into week one for the Broncos?
It's tough because both quarterbacks have had pretty solid performances each week of preseason. But maybe right now, Teddy Bridgewater, he's more experienced and they can just throw an older guy out there, and of course, if he doesn't work out, they can always throw Luck in to replace him.
Yeah, so we're going to see. I don't know. I think they're going to give the nudge to Luck. Not Luck. Lock. I wish we had Luck, but Lock.
You're making me cry.
Oh, I know. It's so upsetting. But another game, there's not too much going on in the other game except Monday, the game that happened last night. But the Browns beat the Giants 17-13. 49ers beat the Chargers 15-10. Trey Lance, 8 for 14, 102, a touchdown, two touchdowns, one INT. Jimmy Garoppolo only played one drive, 3 for 6, 15 yards, an INT. So Garoppolo will start, but Lance will be on his tail. Going to a Monday night game that had lots of crazy stuff going on. Mr. Jameis Winston came in, played a couple drives, 9 for 10, 122, two touchdowns. And Taysom Hill threw a touchdown as well, but I think Winston's going to get the nod week one.
Yeah, he did have a great performance, and he is more of a quarterback than Taysom Hill is, of course. Hill can play just about anywhere on the field, but Winston being able to go out there, actually orchestrate an offense, drop dimes to receivers, and make plays for the Saints.
Now that's going to wrap up our football coverage of NFL Week 2 preseason. Tune in next Thursday, and we're going to talk about everything you want to know about Week 3, and then we're going to round it out. But now we're going to go to a 30-second break, bring it back with some baseball here. You'll be listening to the Sports Spotlight.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life. Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you, start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
Now I'm, trying to get better, stronger than ever.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Sports Spotlight, we are back here. And we got some more sports to talk about. We're going to talk about baseball, and now we're going to send it to our guy who covers everything you need to know about baseball. We're going to send it to Owen Pulley, talking everything you need to know about the MLB.
Yeah, so I'm only going to really talk about two topics here today. Just make it quick. Not a ton of going on in baseball, but just a little bit. I'm going to cover first Miguel Cabrera. We've been talking about him for about a week now. Finally hit 500 home runs. He's been trying to hit that feat for many years now, really coveted feat to hit 500 home runs, 3,000 hits really will get you sure spot in the Hall of Fame. He's kind of close there with 3,000 hits. Hit it against the Blue Jays, becomes the 28th player to hit a home run or 500 home runs, and the sixth non-American born to do it. What do you guys think about that one?
It's interesting to say the least. I mean, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. He in the 21st century, only Barry Bonds, Sammy Sosa, Rafael Palmeiro, Ken Griffey Jr., Frank Ramirez, Frank Thomas, A-Rod, Jim Tomey, Manny Ramirez, and Gary Sheffield hit 500. He becomes.
So it's pretty good. What's the word that they use? I can't find the word.
Coveted.
No, like. The group around him. That's like a really good group to be in.
Yeah. I know what you're...
Yeah, you know what I mean. Everyone knows what I mean. But, I mean, that's a really... Every single one of those players you named are all extremely talented players. So that's a really good group to be in.
But, yeah. But he joins Rafael Palmeiro, Manny Ramirez, David Ortiz, Albert Pujols, and Sammy Sosa to be non-U.S. born players to hit 500 home runs, and he becomes the first one to hit one not in the United States. He hit it in Toronto against the Blue Jays, as they won that game 5-3, and a rare Detroit win lately. So that's always good.
Shout out Canada.
Hey,
shout out to Drake.
Yeah, Drake and Kanye going at it.
I forgot Drake's from Canada.
Yeah, Mr. Drizzy.
Champagne Poppy. But moving on from there, we're going to go to the Little League Classic, the Little League World Series going on. Hopefully Midwest. I think Ohio is representing them. I hope they can pull it off for the Midwest to win that. But the Little League World Series Classic was played in Williamsport a couple days ago. Angels took on the Indians, and the Indians came out on top 3-0 against them. And with an Amed Rosario 2-run home run, he was in a big trade earlier for Francisco Lindor and Carlos Carrasco to the New York Mets. But he hit a 2-run home run. Ohtani played well. I think he didn't do too well at the plate, but he played well. Mike Trout's still battling his injury, trying to come back. But, yeah, that's pretty much all there. I want to get your guys' thoughts on the Little League Classic, talking about playing, because all Little Leaguers getting for free that are in the Little League World Series still playing there.
It's a very interesting match, Definitely going to be fun to watch.
One thing that's cool about the Little League World Series or whatever is I heard that actually former players are getting to broadcast the games. Like, Monet Davis, who really took the scene by storm. I believe it was 2013 I saw when she was a female pitcher playing with all the Little League guys, and she was just absolutely dominating. So it was cool to see her back in the booth talking, broadcasting a baseball game, but it's cool that they let those kids do that.
I really like the Little Leagues because you could be seeing future stars. And you never know. You never know if that kid just hit a homer and he could be the next guy. So
yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, that's going to do it for me for baseball.
Well,
so
thank you to Ellen Pooley joining us as our special guest here on the Sports Spotlight, joining us to talk everything you need to know about baseball. And he does join us every Tuesday and Thursday as well as a special guest talking about baseball. But now we're going to give it to Christian to talk about anything you need to know about soccer.
Thank you, Jackson. All right, we start off in the English Premier League where match day two kicked off. We had a match between Liverpool and Burnley. Liverpool just dominated the whole match, held a good possession of 67% to 33%, which is just, you know, average Liverpool with Diogo Jota and Sadio Mane both finding the back of the net throughout the course of the match. Moving onwards over to Aston Villa, who held a comfortable 2-0 win over Newcastle United. Danny Ings, the new signing, finding another goal in just the second match for Aston Villa. And Aston Villa side without Jack Grealish, who did also score on his debut for Manchester City, who were facing Norwich City. Manchester City had a comfortable win, winning 5-0 against Norwich, and you just gotta feel bad for Norwich because they are really starting to look like the relegation favorites. How do you feel about that, Jackson, that they went down 5-0? That's just horrible. Very, very sad from Norwich City.
Yeah, it's just like you said, it's just terrible.
The defense needs to be there, but it's just not. They're like playing cards or something.
I mean, yeah. You're not going to win games giving up 5 goals.
Yeah, that is just horrible. Like, not even to put one in the back.
Like, I could do better. Like, I'm just...
Exactly.
Jackson White, the professional soccer player / Sports Spotlight host.
I could just bang those balls and make sure no goal gets in my house.
Exactly. All right, moving on with the Crystal Palace, who dropped with Brentford. New Boys Brentford holding seasoned veterans of the Premier League, Crystal Palace, a 0-0 draw at their own home. Not a very eventful game, to say the least, but what it was eventful was Leeds United taking on Everton at their own home, which ended in a 2-2 game with goals from Leeds coming from Kitch and Rafinha, and at Everton's side, Dominic Calvert-Lewin scoring a penalty in the 37th minute, and Damari Gray also finding the back of the net. All right, moving on, where's the Brighton, who won 2-0 against Watford. Watford coming back, fighting to stay in the Premier League once again after being relegated a couple seasons back. Well, this is definitely kind of upsetting for them to lose 2-0 to Brighton, who have just proven that they really do not need Ben White to really just give problems to other teams. All right, onwards, the Manchester United. Oh, they went away at Southampton. They tied 1-1. They went from winning 5-1 against Leeds at their own home to tying with Southampton, which is just average Manchester United, in my opinion. It's just embarrassing. All right. Moving onwards, the Wolves and Tottenham Hotspur had a very, very close affair. Wolves just trying to batter Tottenham, but they just couldn't. Dele Alli scored a penalty in the 10th minute. That's pretty much all that happened. The rest of the game was just pretty much Wolves trying to just find that goal to tie the game back, but they could not do it. All right. Moving onwards, the Arsenal, who held Chelsea at their own home. Arsenal went on to lose 2-0 against Chelsea. Another loss for Arsenal, which is just embarrassing for them. Like, once again, Romelu Lukaku finding his first goal for Chelsea. Once again, just always scoring constantly. Romelu Lukaku is such a consistent goal scorer, and I think he will easily bang 20 this season. All right. It was a nice goal from him, and he was just bullying that Arsenal defense with Ben White, too. Like, Ben White has just not been living up to his price tag. Price tag at all. It's kind of embarrassing. Sorry for the laughing. It's just the defense of Arsenal. It's so funny. They cannot.
When teams just get beat down, sometimes you just gotta laugh.
Yeah. If you guys didn't know this, Arsenal, they have a really passionate fandom, right? But there's this YouTube channel called Arsenal Fan TV, and it's always just these Arsenal fans getting interviewed, and they've been so bad of recent times, so it's always so funny to watch them get mad.
Like, why are you here?
Exactly. They're just always getting on the manager and stuff every time they lose. It's hilarious. All right. Moving onwards, the West Ham, who won 4-1 against a Leicester City side who they were without Isaiah Perez because he got a red card. So they just ended up getting battered because of that by West Ham. And Mikael Antonio scored 2 goals, which makes him the all-time leading top goal scorer for West Ham in the top flight English league, which makes him my spotlight player of the week to break a milestone like that.
Hey, spotlight player of the week. We're giving it to Christian this week. Who is it again?
Mikael Antonio.
There we go. The spotlight player of the week. Well, the spotlight player since we've seen you last.
Yep.
Since we do it again. So there will be another spotlight player next Thursday. Make sure to tune in for that one, 1:15. You can listen to whoever's going to be the spotlight player. We don't know yet.
Yeah, exactly. We just have to see who performed very well recently. All right, that's all for the Premier League. Moving onwards to La Liga, where the Spanish League kicked off in the match day 2 over here. Starting off with Real Betis taking on Cadiz, ended up with a 1-1 draw. Not a very eventful game, to be honest. Alves go down to Marsella at home, 1-0. Moving onwards, Granada and Valencia play each other. Granada and Valencia ended up drawing 1-1 as well. Espanyol and Villarreal ended 0-0. And this is going to be upsetting for the Barcelona fans. They kicked off with a 1-1 draw at Athletic Club Bilbao. If it wasn't for Memphis Depay, they would have lost that game for sure. It's definitely unfortunate for them. They could have won the game. They got a controversial goal called off for offside. It was a beautiful goal, but it just was not counted, which is quite unfortunate for them. I don't think it was offside, but what am I to think?
Offside calls are always controversial. Well, I mean, sometimes, of course, they're obvious, but I feel like a lot of people always, or the fan bases, of course, always think it was if it was for their team or not, if it was against their team. I just feel like there's always controversy with those.
Yeah, especially in the day and age of VAR, it's just they're just calling offside for very controversial stuff, like your shoulders in front of the defender. They'll call that offside, which is just it's messed up, honestly. But moving on, where's the Real Sociedad, who won against Rayo Vallecano 1-0, in a very tight-knit affair that Real Sociedad just ended up winning. Moving onwards to my team, Atletico Madrid, we won 1-0 against Elche, with Correa scoring once again. He has 3 goals in 2 games now. Very, very good performances from him as of late. Yeah, but Atletico just played their game typically and beat Elche again. So, yep. Onwards to the game I was really happy about. Levante and Real Madrid played, and Levante gave Real Madrid issues once again. Levante is one of those teams who's just average, but when they play Real Madrid, they play like they're like prime Barcelona or something. They just always play so well against them. If it wasn't for Vinicius Jr. coming on scoring those 2 goals he did, Real Madrid would have lost 3-1 to Levante, which is just embarrassing, especially since Levante had a red card on top of that. What do you feel about that, Kevin?
Well, I mean, like some teams, they just do that. They play like to the level of their competition, so and maybe some teams just get extra motivated, I guess, to beat down some team. So, you know, you can see in multiple sports, I think, teams playing better against certain teams. But for it to always happen against that one team, I mean, it's kind of interesting how that ends up happening each time.
Yep, indeed. I'm really glad because I don't like Real Madrid. But moving onwards over there, the Getafe, who lost at home 1-0 to Sevilla in a very close match once again, but Sevilla just got the better of Getafe at their own home. And onwards to Osasuna and Celta Vigo, which ended in a 0-0 draw, so there's not much to talk about there. Just two mediocre teams having a mediocre performance, honestly. Overall, that will do it for soccer on Sports Spotlight for today. Stay tuned to the next show, as I'll be talking about the French League, the Italian League, and the German League. So stay tuned for that.
Thank you for Christian telling us everything you need to know about soccer. But before we go on our final break, we have some funny things to talk about, and we're going to go to a 30-second break and talk about something that might just make your day. It's pretty funny going on around the world right now, so we're going to go to a 30-second break and be right back here on the Sports Spotlight.
Hi, everybody. It's Barack. Now that every American over the age of 16 is eligible to get the vaccine, I want to talk about you getting yours. The vaccine is safe, it's effective, it's free. I got one. Michelle got one. People you know got one. And now you can get one too. It's the only way we're going to get back to all the things we love, from safely spending time with grandparents to going to concerts and watching live sports. So get the vaccine as soon as you can.
visit rshot.in.gov.
Welcome back here to the Sports Spotlight with Jackson, Kevin, and Christian here. And we're going to wrap up the show right after this, but something that's really just funny that I read about, I'm going to let Kevin introduce it.
So there is a racehorse called Bold and Bossy, and really it is living up to its name. It's a Kentucky racehorse, and Bold and Bossy bucked its jockey off and then escaped a racetrack and then just took off down a highway on Saturday. So if you're driving down this highway in Henderson, Kentucky, Highway 41 to be exact, you can see Bold and Bossy just trotting along the side. Kind of a interesting sight, probably something you will only see maybe once in your life.
Just imagine you're just driving your car, you're going home, and you just see a horse just going down the highway.
Thankfully, though, Bold and Bossy was captured safely. No harm was done to the horse, or no crashes resulted in it going down the highway. So no injuries, and it is back with its owner. But not only that happened, later early on Sunday morning there was a fire where the stable is that this horse stayed in.
So maybe the horse did it and was escaping.
Is the horse an arsonist?
The horse clearly does not want to be captured, but they keep capturing it. Bold and Bossy suffered a minor injury. It's not disclosed what that injury was, but just a minor one in a fire that started around 4 a.m. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe the horse was like, the humans are asleep at this point. Time for me to get out of here. Live my own life in the wild. But no other horses or humans were injured in the fire. So just a minor injury to Bold and Bossy. But as a result, the track that the fire where the stable was happened has canceled all of the horse races until Friday. So Bold and Bossy decided to make itself a headline, but maybe she'll be back soon onto the racetrack winning races and hopefully not bucking off the horse jockey.
We all wish Bold and Bossy.
But, hey, actually, we forgot to talk about something here.
Oh, what?
The Colts. Carson Wentz, Quentin Nelson, Ryan Kelly all coming back to practice this week, and Carson Wentz and Quentin Nelson just coming back 2 weeks after surgery. I just think that's pretty crazy, and it's really good to see Mr. Wentz coming back for the Colts.
Yeah, Carson Wentz, and he was looking good. I don't know if you saw any videos.
Yeah, I saw him. He looked sharp, and you'd think no one was like that after our surgery.
Yeah, he was running and making cuts, and he was looking like he was ready to play again. And, of course, there's still some therapy he has to go through, but he might be ready by week one of the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, it would be really cool. I'd love to see Wentz out there. I haven't really been impressed by Ellinger or Easton, so we're going to see. Hopefully Mr. Two is out there, and I'm really excited for this season, but we're going to have to see. Only time will tell. He's only been practicing on 7-7s and drills. He hasn't played 11-11 yet, so we'll see. But it's good to see Mr. Wentz, Nelson, and Kelly all back out there. But that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Sports Spotlight with Jackson, Kevin, and Christian. And make sure the show's always at 1:15 to whenever we end it on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So make sure to tune in on those days. But thank you for tuning in today. Got some good music coming at you here on Giant 90.9.